CD 2.
I've told you of the pessimism which, unknown to me, was prevailing at home. But now I was hearing it from the men on the spot, grousing in their shirt sleeves in the stifling heat of the mess tent. Native infantry officers, Punjabi pioneers, King's Own, cavalrymen from the Sindh Horse Irregulars, and native cavalry regiments, Baluch, Madras sappers, even a Dragoon Gardi, and altogether as mixed a collection as you could hope to find, all croaking like the never-wearied rook. In short order, I gather that fat-headed Bombay politicals had hampered Napier at every turn and thrown his plans into disarray, that our transport was in chaos because they'd hired drivers who were the scum of the Levant, Greeks and Dagos and the like, who'd mutinied and had to be replaced by Persians and Hindus, that we were far too soft with the Abs, as witness Pottinger's giving way to a crowd of shohos who'd blocked the road, and the armed attack on a sentry which had had to be repulsed by the bayonets of Cooper's Irishmen, that we were fools to rely on local intelligence which reported Theodore and the captives in half a dozen different places at once, that with the mercury at 116, and that on a cool day, we'd have an epidemic if the army wasn't moved up country to the high ground, that baboons were swinging on the telegraph wires, which would have to be coated in rubber and buried. I'd heard the like from the Khyber to Chattanooga, and if the words were different, the tune was the same. Oh, for the army work corps that we had in Crimea! As if they'd make a hape of the difference. God himself couldn't lay more than a mile of road a day over solid rocks sky-high with boulders. Mile a day should get us to Magdala next year, what? Ah, so we shan't be in and out by April. General laughter. Damn lucky if we get out at all. See here, 12,000 men, three-quarters of them on support, depots, transport and so on, 2,000 to go for Magdala. Flying column, you mean? Napier's good at those. Flying column, be damned. In country, where you'll make 10 miles a day with luck. And it's 400 miles. So, where do you find mule forage for 40 days, to say nothing of taking elephants and mountain guns and mortars over ground that'd have Hannibal crying for his pension? Talking like a book, ye are. And will the tribe let us be? They say Theodore can put 100,000 into the field. If the chiefs support him, Merriweather reckons they don't. Does he now? Do you know, I don't reckon Merriweather's optimism counts for much against odds of 50-1. Oh, shield and spear niggers, not much firepower? That's not the point, confound it! This from a grizzled major of Baluch. Time and distance are our enemy, not the tribes. We're not here for conquest or victory, even. Eating, not fighting, is going to be what matters. Aye, survival! This was greeted by a brief silence, followed by a drawl from a Sindh Horse subaltern.
Ah, well. Any volunteers for the relief expedition in 2 years' time?
Some laughter, by no means hearty. The usual grumble and grin of men in the field, if you like, but with a decided note of uncertainty in it. And these weren't just any soldiers, but the best India could show. Still, I might have dismissed them as croakers if Speedy's silence during the meal hadn't convinced me that he shared their misgivings. You see, we poltroons have a talent for spotting heroes. We have to, in order to steer well clear of them. And from what I learned from Henty, who sat by me at tiffin, Speedy was a prime specimen, and an expert to boot. A gentle giant, who looked like the wrath of God, but had no side at all, had served in 4 armies and probably killed more men than the dysentery. He knew Abyssinia inside out, spoke Amharic, which is the principal lingo of the country, and had been drill instructor in the service of Emperor Theodore, who had particularly admired his party trick of cleaving a sheep in two, lengthwise, God help us, with a single sword stroke. But they'd fallen out, and Speedy had been farming and fighting Maoris in New Zealand when the present crisis arose. Napier had insisted on having him as his political, and Speedy had rolled up for service with nothing but the clothes he stood in and a couple of blankets. That tells you the sort of chap he was. Another of the crazy gentleman adventurers who infested the frontiers in the earlies, and when a fellow with his authority don't contradict croaking, you draw your own conclusion.